place I'll probably spend much time reading in this morning. Luke chapter 1. Today I want to continue speaking to you on some of the strong women in the scripture. This will be the fifth sermon in that series, the strong women in the scripture. I've talked to you about Rahab and Hannah and the Queen of Sheba and the lady that was at Simon the Pharisee's house. And all of them were strong women. But when I say that, what I mean, of course, is strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God gave them all great strength and the ability to do things that they would not have been able to do in and of themselves. Can you say amen to that? And today I want to continue and speak to you on one of them, and that is the Virgin Mary. Boy, do I need your prayers. I want to, before I actually look at Luke chapter 1, I want to give four caveats or disclaimers about the Virgin Mary. I do think she was a very strong woman. God gave her ability, and she did something no other person in the history of this world ever has done or ever will do. Amen? I mean, it's just unbelievable. And God had to give her the strength to do that, right? But we don't worship Mary, right? She's not your Redeemer. She's not your Savior. She's not your intercessor. She's a strong woman in the Scripture, and we can learn a lot from her. But anyway, the first disclaimer I want to make about her, now we called her the Virgin Mary. The reason we called her the Virgin Mary, she was a virgin when she gave birth to her firstborn son. She was a virgin. But the first disclaimer I want to make is that she didn't stay a virgin her whole life. She did not, according to the scripture. She and Joseph had children after Christ was born. Now, even in the account that we have there in Matthew, you know, when the angel came to speak to Joseph to tell him what was happening, because, you know, Mary is with child. And he knew it wasn't his. And so you can understand him wondering, you know. And so the angel comes and tells Joseph what's going on. And then it says there in Matthew 1:25, it says, and he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. So even that verse right there lets us know that they did come together as husband and wife after the birth of Jesus Christ. And then also in the scripture, Galatians 1 teaches us, talks about James, the Lord's brother, who was one of the apostles. I think he's the one that wrote the book of James, if I'm not mistaken about that. So James, the Lord's brother. And then, without turning to it, but in Matthew chapter 13, when some of the Pharisees are, you know, Jesus had come into his own country, and he started working miracles and speaking and everything, and the people... You know, he was a homeboy. And so the people were saying, well, what's going on here? You know, they were saying, you know, we know him. Is not Mary his mother? Is not his mother called Mary? And does he not have brothers? And I wrote them down here. His brethren. So the people were saying, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother named Mary? And his brethren, James and Joses and Simon and Judas. So apparently the Lord had four brothers. And his sisters, plural, are they not all with us? So, Mary was a virgin when Christ was born, but she didn't stay a virgin. She and Joseph had at least six children. Why do I do that? Had at least six children after the birth of Christ. Okay? Second thing I want to say about her, Mary was a sinner. She was a sinner. She was not, as is often said about her, she was not born without original sin. That is told about her. She was not born without original sin. In order for her to have been born without original sin, she would have had to have been fathered by God in the womb of her mother, just as Christ was fathered in her womb by God, if she was going to be conceived without original sin. But she not only was a sinner, she knew it, and she knew she needed a Savior, and she knew she had a Savior, and she knew that her Son was her Savior. Now, isn't that wild? Now, the way I know that is in Luke chapter 1, when Mary came to, and I'm going to get to Luke here in a minute, when Mary came to talk to Elizabeth, you remember that? Elizabeth was blessed to conceive John the Baptist, remember, by a wonderful miracle, because she was another old lady. I didn't just say that, did I? She's another elderly lady that had a child by a miracle of God. And so Elizabeth was going to give birth to John the Baptist, and I forget right now how old she was, way up there in years. And Mary was her cousin. And you may remember that Mary went to visit with her, and Becky's sneezing, isn't that interesting? And Mary went to visit with her, and as Mary went to visit with her, and Mary was telling Elizabeth, John the Baptist leaped in her womb, you remember, with joy. That's when that, and then Mary said, here's what she said, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So not only was she a sinner, she knew she was a sinner. She had a Savior, and she knew she had a Savior, and I think she knew who her Savior was. I mean, think about it. She knew that that baby she was carrying was not naturally procreated. And this is one reason I'd like to speak to you about her, and I won't get done today, I don't think. Because her experience is absolutely unique in the Scripture. She's the only one of her kind. She's the only one that ever will be. The third thing I'd like, so first thing, Mary, she was a sinner. Becky's just having issues, bless her heart. It's okay, honey. She didn't stay a virgin. She had children after that, after Christ. She was a sinner and she knew it. She had a Savior. Third thing, she did die a natural death. Mary died. She was not assumed to heaven, her body being free from corruption. That didn't happen. She died. How do I know that? Because the gospel that James wrote, the brother of our Lord, tells us that sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You want to know the reason you're going to die and the reason I'm going to die? Is because of sin in us. Especially sin that is in our bodies. I mean, it's inevitable. Unless the Lord comes to get, amen, unless the Lord comes to get us before that time, we're all going to die corporally death. Well, Mary did too. And the final thing, the fourth thing I'd mention, she was a virgin when Christ was born, though. Mary was in fact and indeed a virgin when Christ was born. He was virgin born. And that is notwithstanding all of the collected opinions of the theologians in seminaries around this country who want to deny the doctrine of the virgin birth. Well, they can deny it all they want to. The Bible teaches she was a virgin when Christ was born. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ had to have been conceived in her womb by the Holy Spirit in order to be your Redeemer. In order not to have sin in himself, to have no sin of his own. And only then, only he who had no sin of his own was qualified and able and capable to pay for your sin debt. Otherwise, we're lost. If he had a natural father, you don't have a Savior. That is all there is to it. So, with those caveats said, and anyway, I just, oh, we do not worship Mary. We don't pray to Mary. I'll tell you something else. She wasn't the mother of God. I'm not trying to be mean. She didn't mother God. God, by definition, is eternal. God, by definition, whether you're talking about the Father, the Word, or the Holy Spirit, all of them had eternal existence. They never had a beginning. They never were created. So Mary was not the mother of God. You don't know, but she was the mother of the Son of Man. She was the mother of the Messiah. She was the mother of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. She was the mother of your Savior. And it's a staggering thought, it's a staggering thought to realize that it was a man, the son of Mary, that redeemed you from your sins. A man that kept the law, a man that did everything perfect, and then a man that redeemed us from our sins at the end of his life. It was a man that did that. Okay, well, in Luke chapter 1, and I asked Brother Harold about this. I was talking to him about this earlier, you know, because I know it says in Isaiah chapter 7, I'll just refer to that, you know, the prophetic reference to her, not by name. She's prophesied of in the scriptures, not by name. But in Isaiah, though, it says clearly, "Behold, and the Lord shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive." And not only conceive, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. So she had to have been a virgin when she bore her firstborn son. And she was. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel." And then we learn in Matthew chapter 1 that Emmanuel means God with us. So we know that it was prophesied that a virgin was going to conceive and bring Messiah into the world. And I just wonder, I can't help but wonder if she knew about that prophetic reference. If she knew that it had been prophesied that a virgin would conceive. Maybe she knew. And then, can you imagine how astonished she must have been when the angel appeared to her to tell her what was going to happen to her? I mean, I cannot even imagine it. But anyway, so Luke chapter 1, let's read, and I don't know how far we'll get here. I'm just going to, you pray for me. This is about four sermons worth of material, and I'm not going to give you four sermons today. That reminds me of a funny story. I'll tell you this joke. One time when I was in Macedonia, there was the possibility that we might have a certain visitor come to church. And so I prepared a sermon if that visitor came, and I prepared another sermon if that visitor did not come. And I told Brother Steve Honeycutt that morning, I said, "Well, I've prepared two sermons." He said, "Well, I sure hope we don't have to hear both of them." Wasn't that mean? I mean, I was just trying to do my job, you know. "Well, you're not going to hear all four sermons. We'll just try to..." Anyway, Luke chapter 1. Mary was a strong woman, strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He blessed her mightily, incredibly. And I don't mean, and when I say that, when I say Mary was a strong woman, I don't mean that she was just given grace to conceive the Christ child. I mean her whole life. Her whole life, what she went through, what she experienced as a mother is just unbelievable. It's incredible. And in the sixth month, verse 26, Luke chapter 1, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Okay? Remember now, John the Baptist was chronologically 6 months older than Christ as far as their births are concerned. Even though Christ antedated John the Baptist. That's just so... Okay. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So she's espoused, engaged, very strongly engaged, but she and Joseph have not yet come together as husband and wife. And the angel came in unto her and said, so there's a lot going on. Elizabeth's going to, an old lady Elizabeth's going to have a baby. And now here's this virgin, and she's going to have a baby. And we've got some miraculous stuff going on here. The virgin, okay. And the angel came in unto her. And this is the angel Gabriel, an archangel, by the way. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, I want to just stop right here. She's highly favored. The Lord is with her. She is blessed among women. So we could expect then that her life's going to be a bed of roses, right? Her life's going to be a bed of roses. No problems. She's going to be carried about on a pillow. She's not going to have any difficulties, any complications. Just going to be wonderful and hunky-dory and no problems, nothing. She's just going to have a wonderful life with no misery, no complications, right? Is that what that means? I cannot imagine what she went through. Can you? She was at the cross. She was there. So the angel comes in. Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I just want to make the point, using Mary as an example, when we are blessed of the Lord, when we are favored of the Lord, when we are blessed by the Lord, it does not necessarily mean that we're not going to have trials and tribulations and complications and woes and miseries. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes, in fact, sometimes when you're blessed of the Lord and highly favored and the Lord is with you, sometimes it means you're going to have trials and complications and problems that you would not have otherwise had. Amen? All right, well, you say, then you might, okay, the carnal half of you, and the carnal half of me says, well, why in the world would I want to be blessed of the Lord then? Well, that's because it's so great. What you're blessed with is so much better than any kind of complications you have to deal with. We're so blessed. In other words, the spiritual part that we gain is worth almost anything that we have to suffer in our lives. Can you say amen to that? I mean, it's so true. And when she saw him, verse 29, so she sees this angel just appears to her. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. In other words, she doesn't understand what's going on yet. But the angel's fixing to clear it up. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. What an amazing thing. Don't be afraid. How amazing is that? For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Jesus. That's Matthew 1:21, except Luke. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? Can I add Matthew 1:21? Why are you going to call his name Jesus? For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the whole Bible in miniature. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus didn't come to save everybody. He came to save his people. By the way, that's a whole lot more than a lot of people believe. But anyway, okay. Thou hast found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb. Bring forth a son. You're going to call his name Jesus, which means Savior. And the angel keeps on. That's not all. He shall be great, I guess. And shall be called the Son of the Highest. John 3:16 calls him the only begotten Son of God. Now, he's not the one and only Son of God, but he is the only begotten Son of God, the only Son of God that begotten in the womb of a woman who was a virgin by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one of those. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So, he's going to be the king and rule on the throne of David. Now remember, we know that, boy, I need your prayers. Solomon was the historical fulfillment of somebody sitting on the throne of David. But ultimately, it was referring to Jesus Christ reigning and ruling in the spiritual kingdom that he's been ruling and reigning in ever since his ascension to heaven at his resurrection. Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne right now. Jesus Christ is not waiting to rule in his kingdom. He is ruling in his kingdom right now. I hope you can believe it. You say, well, it looks to me like the world's going crazy. Well, it does look like the world's going crazy to me, and I don't understand it either. And while there are ailments and complications and illnesses, I don't understand it either, but I know Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning on his throne. And I think things would be far worse if he weren't looking over us, don't you? He shall be great and shall be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Boy, now that doesn't sit well with people that say, okay, he tried to come and set up his kingdom the first time and didn't get it done. So he's waiting to reign, and then he'll reign a while. No, he's reigning right now, going to reign from then on out. This son that she was going to have. Now, y'all, I just want you to try to imagine. Mary, I think it's safe to say, is in the nation of Israel. She's not a member of the Sanhedrin. Her father's not important. She's just unimportant. She's just a little Jewish girl, a little Jewish maiden. And here the angel comes to her and tells her a message that no other woman has ever heard, ever, or ever will hear. She's going to be the mother of the Messiah. Well, now, all the theological seminaries may doubt that she was a virgin, but let's look at the next verse. So all this that the angel says, you're going to have a son, he's going to sit on the throne of the father David, of his kingdom, there shall be no end, he's going to be very great, you're going to name him Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins. And then Mary said, verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, now how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And she just there said she's a virgin. How are you going to argue with her? I reckon she would know. She is saying, how in the world is this going to happen to me? I am a virgin. This cannot happen. And the angel answered. And man, this verse right here, the angel answered and said unto her, here's how it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. That's how it's going to happen. What the angel has just told her is that the Holy Ghost is going to father your child in your womb. That's what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost will come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. By the way, that does not mean that Mary was not a born-again child of God yet. But people say that. It's amazing. What this means is that the Holy Spirit is going to father her child. That's why he's going to be called the only begotten Son of God. God's his father, not Joseph. Therefore, since this is going to happen, therefore shall that holy thing which shall be born of thee be called the Son of God, or his only begotten Son. Now, how was it that Jesus Christ, which was born of Mary, was a holy thing? And by the way, he's the only child that ever was ever born that was born holy. Your children were not born holy. My children were not born holy. That is, they were not. My children were not born without sin. Your children were not born without sin. There have been no children ever born without sin in the history of the world except for this one special child, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How was it that he was born without sin? Because God was his father. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now y'all, this little Jewish maiden, this little unimportant, insignificant, unknown Jewish girl is hearing all this. And then the angel goes on, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So Elizabeth's going to have her child before yours. And by the way, that was prophesied also that John the Baptist would come before Christ and make the way plain for Christ himself after John the Baptist. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Aged ladies can have babies because of God, and virgins can have babies because of God. Now, verse 38. Now, y'all, I want y'all to understand that the culture in which Mary lived was a little bit more severe and rigid concerning sexual improprieties than the culture in which we live. I'm just telling you the way it is. You may remember that when they brought the woman to the Lord that was guilty of adultery, what was the sentence that could have been meted out to her? Stoning to death is exactly right. That was the sentence that could have been meted out to her. And in fact, even in the life of Joseph and Mary, when Joseph finds out that Mary is with child and he knows it is not his, and he, I think, is wondering what's going on, can't you imagine? And before the angel comes to tell Joseph what's going on, he himself is trying to figure out what he's going to do with Mary. And I think he could have, according to the laws of their time, had her stoned to death. But he, instead of making her a public example, was thinking of putting her away privately, or I think of just, I don't know, not marrying her or whatever. And then, of course, the angel says, no, it's okay. You may remember that as well. But the culture in which they lived, far more severe than we are, the culture in which we live on infidelity and things like that. So I want y'all to know, and I think Mary understood very well, you know, here she is, she's going to be with child prior to her marriage to Joseph. People are going to know that. Are you with me? People are going to know it. And she is going to have to endure people talking behind their hands and whispering behind their hands. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And don't you imagine it might have had something, at least in certain circles, her reputation might have been a little darker, don't you think? Don't you think she knows these things? She knows the culture that she knows this. Mary has just been told what's going to happen to her. And she says in verse 38, what is, in my opinion, one of the most amazing things. And even knowing that, she says, behold the handmaid of the Lord. She's basically saying, Lord, I am yours. Handmaid means servant. She is basically saying, Lord, I am yours to do with as you see fit. I want to ask you, is that a good attitude for you and me to have? Wouldn't it be better if all of us today felt like, Lord, I'm yours to do with as you see fit? Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not willing. I'm not yet there. You know, I think about, may the Lord may want me to do this, or the Lord may want me to do that. And I say, no, I'm not doing that. And what if the Lord wants me to do that? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I can't do that. Does that ever enter your mind? Well, the Lord may want you to do this. The Lord may want me to do this over here. The Lord may even be working on me and or you, leading us to do this or that or the other, and we're saying, nope, I'm not going to do it. I can't do that. It ever happened to you? She said, in spite of what her reputation is going to undergo, she said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, I'm yours to do with as you please. Be it unto me according to thy word. That she is basically saying, not my will, but thine be done. And later she's going to understand, I'm telling you right now, this woman is going to undergo stuff no other woman in the history of the world has undergone. She's going to endure things no other woman has ever had to endure, because she's the mother of the Christ child. Is she blessed? Is she highly favored? Absolutely. She's the only woman of her kind in the history of the world. Did she also suffer terribly? That you also have to, as Simeon said, remember later on in Luke, they brought Christ to have him circumcised. You remember in the temple there on his eighth day? And you remember Anna was there, the prophetess, and she saw Christ, and Simeon was there. And Simeon said to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also. He told Mary, you've got the Christ child. This is after Christ was born and after he's been circumcised. This is the Christ child. Remember, the Lord had told Simeon, you're not going to die until you see Christ. You remember that? And he sees Christ there on the day of Christ's circumcision, and he says, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace. And he says to Mary, your soul is going to be pierced through with a sword. Don't you know that was true? Don't you know? And yet she says, be it unto me according to thy will, Lord, whatever. She is basically saying, Lord, whatever you say is best for me, is best for me, even if I don't understand it, no matter what it costs me, no matter what I've got to go through, if it's what you will for me, it's the best thing. And I tell you right now, that's a good attitude for all of us. Okay, Matthew chapter 1. All right, this is when the Lord comes to Mary and tells her what's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 1, Joseph gets the news. I'm not going to read Matthew chapter 1. But in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph gets the news. The angel comes to tell him. Well, okay, I will too. I'll read it. You'll return to it, I'll return to it. It's got my favorite verse anyway. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel comes to Mary, to Joseph, and tell him what's going on. Because, you know, Mary's found with child of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, who's Mary going to tell that to? Who's she going to go around telling everybody, guess what's happened to me? Who's going to believe that? Right? Who's going to believe it? Bless her heart? I mean, don't you kind of have a little pity for her to some degree? Well, it becomes evident that she's with child. Verse 19, Matthew chapter 1. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he was a godly man, and not willing to make her a public example, I think that may mean the stoning we were talking about a moment ago, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But while he thought on these things, so he's wondering what he needs to do. He's a godly, just man. He doesn't want to make her a public example. He's thinking he may just put her away and maybe, you know, find him another girl later on. I mean, I think that's what he's thinking about. And then here comes the angel to tell him the news. Well, y'all, why wasn't Joseph? Why didn't Joseph understand immediately? Well, y'all, we're talking about a miracle here. And so the angel says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, Joseph has just been told by the angel that the child that is in Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So now Mary knows, and now Joseph knows. And Joseph knows, there has been no hanky-panky. Yeah, if I, you know, allow me to say that. Been no hanky-panky behind the scenes. All is well. The child that is in Mary was conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. Now I want to ask you, what faith did it take for him to believe that? What faith did it take for him to believe that? Really, what faith did it take for Mary to believe it? They are both very strong. And I'll go ahead and read 21. You ought to memorize 21. And she shall bring forth a son. Did she? Did she bring forth a son? And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Did they call his name Jesus? Yeah. For he shall save. That shall is absolutely, he's going to get the job done. No ifs, ands, or buts. He shall save. Who's he going to save? His people. What's he going to save them from? From their sins. So Joseph gets the news here, and he knows all as well. So they go ahead, and they get married. Now, back to Luke chapter 2. And, of course, what happens, and if you think that Mary just had an easy way of it, you know, she's blessed, favored above all women in the world, she didn't have an easy way of it. So what happens is, of course, when Mary was great with child, this is in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn to it, they have to go, all the world is going to be taxed. Caesar Augustus decides he's going to tax the whole world. It's hard for me not to make a smart aleck remark about that. I'm not going to, though. So Mary and Joseph have got to go to their city in order to give their taxes. And, of course, where do they go? They go to Bethlehem. And so Mary is great with child. And they're traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I don't know how far that is. And she is 9 months along. You ladies want to ride a donkey. You let any of y'all want to volunteer to ride a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem 9 months along or walk? Any ladies want to volunteer for that? Becky's got a friend that I love very much, and we were talking one day about, you know, they were working hard or something, you know, at the orthodontic office or whatever, and it was really crazy and hectic. And her comment was, at least I'm not 9 months along in a rice paddy in China. So she was so glad that she wasn't in that pitiful shape. So here's Mary, 9 months along, riding a donkey or something from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Any volunteers? And then while they're there, comes time for her to have the baby. So they just run down to St. Jude's, right, to have the baby. There's no room in the inn, even. She has the baby in a barn. Any volunteers? Hey, y'all. Is she favored among women? Is she highly favored? Is she blessed of God? She's incredibly blessed, incredibly favored. Does that mean her life wasn't hard? She had hard things she had to live through. And hard things she had to live through came to her because of the fact that she gave birth to this child. She's the only one that had that happen to it. So the baby's born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I think that's a feed trough. I think. And suddenly. So, I mean, she has the baby in the barn, wraps the baby, puts him in the manger, and then, lo and behold, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Incredible. From having a baby in, I don't know, the least sterile, least comfortable way, now the heavenly host is there shouting praise to God. Unreal. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from the heaven that the shepherds, the shepherds are the one that those angels appear to, they say, let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Because the Lord said, you know, you're going to find the baby lying in wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now this is at the manger in Bethlehem. Later, the wise men come to the house in Nazareth. But this is, the baby is just born. And the shepherds have gotten the message from the angels. And they come to where Joseph and Mary are. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, I guess. And then verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Who's she going to tell? Who's going to believe her story? Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, who's going to believe it? So she keeps all these things in her heart and ponders them and thinks about them long and hard, I'm saying. You know, who in the world is she going to tell? Well, and later in chapter 2, that's when they bring the child in there. And Simeon gives her the word that you're going to have your soul pierced through. And just let me tell you a little bit more of the story just to kind of close out. Then what happens, you may remember, this is in the book of Matthew. Herod finds out about this king, this child who's born king of the Jews. Now Mary and Joseph, since they're so blessed and highly favored, they're just going to have a wonderful, easy life, right? No problems. Well, Herod finds out about this child. And he's going to be king of the Jews. And Herod says, now wait just a minute. I can't let that happen. Remember this? And so he puts out an edict that all of the babies, he's going to put them all to death that are 2 years old and under. He found that out from the wise men, by the way, that came to the house and gave the baby gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I've often wondered about that gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What's that for? Well, Joseph and Mary are very poor. And they had to have some way to pay for this trip they're fixing to have to take down to Egypt. But anyway, so, Herod's going to have all the babies killed. In other words, to kill the one, he's going to kill them all. Crazy. But anyway, Well, what happens is the angel appears to Joseph and Mary and tells them what's going to happen. And says, what you've got to do, you've got to take this baby and you've got to go down to Egypt and stay as long, and go all the way down to Egypt and stay down there until I give you word. How many, any volunteers for that? Anybody, any volunteers for that, make that trip? From Bethlehem all the way down to Egypt? No trains, no planes, no automobiles. Okay? You know, taking the baby down there and staying down there indefinitely and then coming back later at the same time. It's just amazing. So the point, I'm just trying to get you to see, at least to some degree, they're highly blessed, highly favored. This is one of the strongest women. She did all of this and more, as a result of the fact that God blessed her to give birth to the Christ child. And I'm going to stop right there this morning. And I just want us to think about how what an example she is of, even though she's blessed, she had a hard life. You know what that tells me as I step down? That tells me when we look at others around us and they're having a hard life, that we do not have the right to conclude that they are not highly blessed or highly favored just because they're having a hard life. Are you with me? And I'll tell you something else. You really don't even have a right to conclude that you are not highly blessed or highly favored just because you're having a bit of a hard day or a rough life either. Anyway, okay. The hymn I was looking at, thank you, Brother Mike. The hymn I was looking at for us to sing today is How Firm a Foundation on 146, if that's all.